It's the Deseret News Rise and Shout Podcast, episode 284. I'm your host, Adam Mangum. In this episode, Matt and I break down the offseason of the Boise State Broncos and what we think their 2017 team will look like. We also look at the BYU football roster, some of the transfers and the other folks that we think might make an impact this season. And for the second episode in a row, we play Time Machine. This time, we go back and fix two events in BYU basketball history that we think would have made a significant impact. This is the Deseret News Rise and Shout Podcast. Find this and other great podcasts at DeseretNews.com/podcast. Follow us on Facebook at Facebook.com/Rise and Shout. And listen to Matt and I yap right now. Hey, Matt. We are going to talk about movies again.
Of course we are.
But only because that's what the listeners are asking for.
Okay? Give the people what they want. That's what I say.
Give them what they want, indeed. So, Matt, our first tweet bag question of this show.
Tweet bag.
Comes from CoogFan82 at CoogFan82 on Twitter. And this is what he has to say, Matt. Love the show. I like this tweet already.
This guy is a genius.
Can we just stop now? Are we done?
Oh, is there more? Or is he just wanting to let us know?
Oh, no. There's more. Long time listener, first time tweet bag. Welcome. Welcome, CoogFan82.
Welcome to the tweet bag, CoogFan82.
So he says this. What's up with the new Spider-Man movie? I imagine that CoogFan82 is Jerry Seinfeld. What's up with the new Spider-Man movie? necessary to the Marvel Universe? Why does it seem Spider-Man always on the lower plane than all other superheroes? Third iteration in the last 10 or so years. Matt, are you a fan of the first five Spider-Man movies?
I couldn't be a fan of the first five Spider-Man movies because I haven't seen them all.
Have you seen any of them?
I saw two of the Tobey Maguire movies, and I threw in the towel.
Well, the third one was terrible, so you threw in the towel at the right time. Unless you saw the third one instead of seeing the second one, which I don't know.
I think I saw the first two. This was a long time ago. This was at least 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah, it's been a while. And you did not see either of the amazing Spider-Man movies with Emma Stone and
I did not.
Andrew Garfield?
I did not. But I did not.
So here's what you should do, CoogFan82. I just did a podcast episode on this for Bleep the Podcast. So go find Bleep. Co-host Alan Seawright and I talked about the cinematic history of Spider-Man. That being said, I think this next one's going to be awesome. That's coming out here in a few weeks.
I'll say this. I've only seen two of those. I still listened to that entire episode of Bleep the Podcast and was entertained.
There you have it, buddy. Look at you.
So, spoiler alert, everybody, if you haven't seen them all, they're going to tell you some things.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, so you're gonna want to be comfortable with that before you get going. But I listened to that whole episode. I'd highly recommend it to CoogFan82. But, and I will also say this, for where they're going with the Marvel Universe, they have to have this one. Because they've got to get Spider-Man in there.
They want Spider-Man.
And they can't use either of those two versions.
No, they can't. They got to come up with their own new version. So you can find that podcast at DeseretNews.com/podcast, where you can also find the Rise and Shout podcast. You can find us on Twitter at Bleep Podcast. So Coog82, go check it out. But to give a very brief summary, Alan and I are both excited about Spider-Man Homecoming. So I get the Spider-Man fatigue, but I hope this one will be good. So, Matt, let's go to the CougarFan.com, Cougars in the News.
Cougars in the News!
Get all of your Cougar news at CougarFan.com. Matt, CBS Sports Fantasy had a 2017 outlook for Green Bay running back Jamal Williams. Really like hearing that, Green Bay running back Jamal Williams. Sounds nice, doesn't it?
It does sound nice.
So, of course, this is a fantasy take, not a pure football take. But basically, they're talking about they think he's going to be a major part of this offense. They don't think he'll play on third downs much or clear passing situations. And I think that's likely the case, especially in his rookie year. But, Matt, they seem to think he's going to get a lot of carries. more than maybe some other folks are saying, over under 9.5 touches a game for Jamal Williams as a rookie.
Ooh.
Over! Take the over. Be a man.
Over it is.
Be 40. Be a man. Be 40.
Yikes. I got this. This is getting weird. No, I could see that happening based on what we're hearing.
Yeah, yeah.
He might not be getting 9 a game early.
He might.
I could see it developing as the season goes on.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So we'll see. We'll see. Staying with NFL, Harvey Longy. There's article. On all22.com, which I have no idea what that is, actually, but it's a Patriots blog, actually. But they talk about Harvey Longy and his ability to make the Patriots. They're very high on him. Do think there's a chance he might not, mainly because at BYU he was allowed to freelance quite a bit, and defensive coordinator of the Patriots, Matt Patricia, there, it is not a freelancing defense. You do what you're supposed to do or you don't play.
Right.
But I think Longy can adjust that. I don't have any issues, and I think he'll make the Patriots, as we've said repeatedly.
Oh, yeah. I think he'll make the team, and they're going to plug and play him.
Yeah, I think he'll play a meaningful role on this team, special teams as well as situationally as a linebacker in year one. That's my prediction. So take it for what it's worth, as we are diehard Patriots fans, you and I.
Yes, yes, we are. Now, then I have to decide, do I want a Kyle Van Noy jersey? A Longy jersey? What do I do?
I don't know what you do. Get them both. That's what
life
you do.
Life is so full of tough choices.
Yeah, yeah. Do you get one that has like a Super Bowl patch on it for, you know, because they're the champs?
I did get a nice pullover with the Super Bowl patch on it.
Mm, nice job.
It's quite nice. And nice a cap.
In the bad news division, Dennis Pitta, Matt, he's... he's not delusional. There's a nice article by in the Associated Press that talked about basically he knows what that means. And, you know, I saw Max Hall quoted in a few things about it. And we had, you know, we had we've had discussions about this topic before. You know, I'm guessing he's going to try to do something and get back. You know, he didn't rule that out completely. But I think, you know, the money quote here is, "I'm happy and fortunate that I was able to play last year and get another year under my belt." So, and the Ravens love him. Harbaugh loves him. Everybody, Terrell Suggs is quoted in this article. He's a popular Raven. People love him. And it's just a shame that his career ends this way, but a lot of football players, unfortunately, this is how the end comes.
Yeah, but I think they find a place for him. I think he sticks around doing something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think he'd be a good coach, administrator, I mean, if he wants to do that stuff. Staying again with the NFL, Bronson Kafusi got hurt last year before the season start, playing for the Ravens as well. He's in year two. Baltimore Sun had a good story talking about, basically, his rookie year is now, right? Third-round pick out of last year's draft. And, you know, the article shows a lot of good quotes about him and all that stuff. And he according to this article, may be playing really soon and potentially making an impact, man.
Oh, that'd be great to see a guy get back after, you know, a rough start with some injuries. Not the first one of these we've seen in the past couple of years, I'd say, out of BYU, to be fair. But would love to see him take advantage of that.
Yeah, yeah. They lost one of their defensive ends in free agency, and so you know, that's Kafusi's got a chance. Got a chance to play if he plays well here in the preseason and in fall camp. So we'll see how that goes for Bronson Kafusi. Matt, the NBA draft is this Thursday. We're recording this on Tuesday night. Some of you may be listening to this after we've found out that Eric Mika hasn't been drafted.
Oh, man. Spoiler alert.
So there have been a bunch of Vanquish the Foe did a good job summarizing some. Matt, no one's talking about Eric Mika. Like, Draft Express had a very nice article. They're higher on him than most. Chad Ford basically has him outside of that. I can't find him in any mock drafts. And quite frankly, in most draft coverage, he's just non-existent, period. The narrative I'm hearing, Matt, from a lot of BYU fans and others is, well, it's still a good decision for him to come out, even if he doesn't get drafted, because he can play in the D League, now G League, all this other stuff. Matt, if he does not get drafted by an NBA team, is this still a good decision by Eric Mika?
No, the D League isn't what you come out for. The D League is not a path to the NBA.
Well, there's been like three or four guys that have done it.
No, the D League is not a path to the NBA. The D League is just is where they put leftovers. So now but if Mika were to decide after not getting drafted that he's going to go to Europe, I think he could have a real successful career overseas, and maybe that would be worth it to leave now. He's 22 years old. He's not getting any younger. And you got to take advantage of it while you're as close as possible to the prime of your life physically.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it may still be a good decision if he doesn't get drafted, but it's not guaranteed until he's successful somewhere.
Yeah. So I know some people are like, oh, D-League, there's Jeremy Lin, and there's a few guys that have played really, really well and then made impacts in the NBA. That is the exception. Think of how many players have gone through the D-League and at best have gotten, you know, a 10-day contract in the NBA, right? I think this was a mistake, honestly. I think this was a mistake. You only go if you're going to get drafted. You're going to play in Europe. Wait another year. Develop your game. Get an outside shot and see if you get in the NBA and then go to Europe. Like, in Europe, they're not going to care that he's 23 or 24. What do they care? Right? I just think this was a mistake. So either this was a mistake or he just really didn't want to play at BYU. Either he got bad advice and really thought he was going to get drafted, or he just was done with BYU and felt like the D League, G League, whatever it's going to be called now, or Europe is just a better place for him to be, which is fine. I don't hold any grudge against that. If somebody decides they want to move on. I don't care. But I if he thought he was going to get drafted, I do feel bad and think that it has not worked out how he thought it would.
Right.
So anyway, so Matt, we have a couple of questions coming out of the tweet bag as far as it goes for the next Gemmer. What?
Oh boy, here we go.
Be the next Gemmer?
Everybody's the next somebody.
That's right. So Tim Jacobson via email. And by the way, if you want to get in the tweet bag, there are three primary ways to do it.
Okay? Climb on in.
That's weird. Don't say that again.
Climb on into the tweet bag. It was a thing.
Yeah, it's not a thing. No, it's not a thing.
It is a thing.
Don't
I just made it a thing.
Thing. You did not make it a thing. You made it
a thing.
It's
a thing.
It's not a thing.
And I'm going to say it every time.
Hashtag climb in the tweet bag.
Climb on in, everybody.
Climb on in.
Plenty of room.
So there's three ways you can reach us. Twitter.
It's warm.
At BYU_.
It's like coming home.
Why is it warm?
There's a lot of people in there.
Did somebody pee in there? Like, why
I hope
is it
not.
Warm?
That's a tweet bag foul right there. Tweet bag foul.
Can't do that. All right. So there's three ways you can get in the tweet bag. You can tweet at us at BYU_RiseShout. You can try Facebook, facebook.com/RiseAndShout. Or you can do like Tim did, email, which is riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. One word, riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. So Tim had this.
Climb on in.
Climb on in. Stop it. This isn't a thing. This is not going to be a
thing. It's
making
it a thing.
I refuse to make it a thing.
It is now a thing.
It's not a thing. All right. On this zero to Gemmer scale, do we have a zero to Gemmer scale? We do now. Now that's a thing.
But we'll have to figure out kind of where the places are on this. Well, but all right.
It's pretty easy. And I think it's going to be the same thing as with the Detmer scale. I think we've got the wrong person on top because I think it's Ainge. But all right. Zero to Gemmer. I can live with it. How excited are you about men's basketball's new recruit, Joseph Girard III, which is a phenomenal Yikes. Name, from Glen Falls, New York? You might also know that Gemmer Fredette comes from Glen Falls, New York. Huh? So how are you excited from zero to Jimmer?
I'm Bigelow excited.
Bigelow excited. I think that hits it.
Like Bigelow wasn't, I mean, he didn't blow the doors off. He wasn't an NBA guy, right?
But you liked him. He wasn't bad.
He was good, and there was a, I mean, he was kind of a big deal at the time, right? Like there was a little bit of hype around Bigelow coming in.
Yeah.
A little bit of hype around this kid.
Yeah. Yeah. So
this kid could be good. You just don't know.
He's a 6'1" shooter. Okay.
Yep.
He's had 2,157 points in 3 years. He's only 247 points shy of the Glen Falls High School record, which of course is held by none other than Jimmer.
How many points shy of it is he?
247 points shy. So he's going to break that. And he's on pace to break the all-time State of New York scoring record of nearly 3,000 points. He has.
Didn't you set that record? Don't you hold that record?
No, it wasn't me. Massachusetts. That's
right. That's right. You didn't play ball in New York. I'm sorry. I keep forgetting where we're from.
Yeah. We're from Massachusetts. And plus, I am 100% certain that Gerard has probably had many games in which he scored more than my entire high school career. So
sounds like it.
Anyway,
sounds like.
Here's the reason why I'm not Jimmer level excited. I'm with you. I think Bigelow level excited is perfect. He has offers from Washington, Marist, High Point, Albany, George Washington, Siena, Penn State, Tulane, and Vermont. Okay. Some of those aren't great. And obviously, it is a pretty cool story to follow Jimmer to where Jimmer played. The other reason I'm not is, listen, he's a 6'1 shooter who fills it up. That's awesome. But I'd really be more excited if he was 6'6". Right? Like, we got a lot of 6'1 short guys that want to come to BYU.
Plenty of those.
If
he were known for tenacious defense.
Yes, that would be better still. Matt, the actual Jimmer, the man named Jimmer, he hit 92 of 100 three-pointers.
Approximately 92%.
Approximately 92%, give or take zero. He made 92 of 100 three-pointers at a fundraiser this past week. Wow.
That's pretty good.
Have you watched the videos?
Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah, I mean... It's the Jimmer. It's amazing. And the Jimmer just keeps on giving.
Jimmer's got a Jimmer.
I can't wait until I'm sitting in an LDS gym sometime in the, 30 years from now, okay? I'm a 70-year-old man, and I look over, and dominating the church league is Jimmer Fredette. All right, Matt, so let's move on to football. You might have heard of that sport. Have you heard of that sport? Football.
I love me some football.
You know, I was talking with some people at work the other day, and we were talking about this doldrums. The void is filled with me with baseball quite a bit because I do love baseball. But it's right now, you go from at one point you had college basketball still going, baseball is starting, spring football's happening. If you like the NBA and the NHL, they're in their most important part of the season. And then you go to, like, almost nothing.
Yeah.
It's tough. So Matt, a few things we'll hit. Deseret News had a story by Jeff Call about Merrill and Bo Hodge. And it was a nice little story. I mean, these are the kind of off-season stories that you expect, but I like them anyway. Merrill being an ESPN NFL analyst, and, of course, Bo being one of the backup quarterbacks for BYU. And I liked it, Matt. I think it's interesting that, that Bo ended up here. It's kind of a cool story. And I really like Merrill also being involved in the program. I think it's great.
Oh, I think, it's really cool. And there's a lot of, you know, the idea of getting somebody involved with that type of a platform, somebody who's not associated with the school otherwise, I mean, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah, I mean, I remember when they announced it, and I was like, I'm sorry, what? Merrill Hutt? What? Does he have any connection to BYU? Yeah, so. Anyway, so that was interesting. Matt, recruits keep signing for the 2018 class. Few more commits have come, including Oliver Nasile, a 6'2 linebacker out of Arkansas. We also had, it's what everyone gets excited about, Matt, kicker punter.
Oh, kickers and punters, baby.
Top 100 nationally ranked by Coles Kicking out of Chandler, Arizona. That's Cash Peterman. By the way, if he does come and he's good, that is a phenomenal kicker name. Cash Peterman. Cash money.
Cash money. That's coming. That's happening. I'm sure they do that already.
Oh, they have to. They have to. And
cash money. Just don't do the money sign. Don't do the Johnny Manziel money.
No. Don't do that. Don't do that.
But do the make it rain. You can do the make it rain.
Yeah. Nothing. Don't do anything that Johnny Manziel does.
Think about it. If he's really good, they'd start calling Utah Valley Cash Valley. Stop it.
And who will be hiking him the ball? Perhaps 6'5", 220-pound long snapper, Austin Riggs out of Eagle, Idaho. Eagle High School, the alma mater of Tanner Mangum.
There you go.
And then also wide receiver Chase Roberts. These are just great names. Wide receiver named Chase?
You can chase him, but you can't catch him.
That's right. 6'4", 185 out of American Fork. It's funny.
Pronounced American Fark.
American Fark High School, the cavemen. He's a caveman.
One of the coolest mascots in high school football history, by the way.
Fantastic. It's really awesome. I do love myself, mascot.
I'm just a simple caveman.
That's right. There's so much you can do with it. I mean, Beat Digger is pretty good, too. I mean, let's not...
Beat Digger's good.
It's not...
There's a lot of really good original high school mascots, but one that I don't like as much are the Davis Darts.
The Davis Darts. Why not? Why do you hate the darts?
The dart. I'm not into it.
You sound like a downer. That's a downer thing to say.
Yeah, I guess it kind of is. Wow. Yeah, I'm a loser.
Yeah, you're kind of a downer. Matt, let's talk a little bit about the roster. We had a question come from Jared Roundsville. That's at J Roundsville on Twitter. He asks, which of the transfers will make the biggest impact on the football program over the long haul? Hashtag tweetbag, hashtag go Cougs. Matt, do you have, it's really hard to tell because some of them will be more quick of an impact than others. But I don't know, James Empey, maybe.
Yeah, but I think it's a big man, and Empey is probably a good place.
What about
to land,
Tristan Hodge? Speaking of Hodges,
it could be.
In 2015, he was ranked as the number one center in the country and a top 150 prospect. So, you know, he played at Notre Dame. We covered him before when that was announced. And obviously, he has 3 years of eligibility remaining. So, assuming he will redshirt this year. Anyway, we'll see.
I'm putting my money on Empey.
Okay. You're going to be putting your money on Empey. Look at you did. You did it. That's another thing you just did.
The thing. I'm going to make that a thing.
On a similar vein, we had a question from Stu. That's at @CPA_Coug on Twitter. I think that, is he a certified public accountant? Is that what I'm getting?
It's not immediately clear to me what this person does for a living.
Yeah, it's not for me either. No. Stu asked this, what's your take on all the roster movements? Seem like more than usual or just another offseason at BYU, more optimistic with transfers? Now, I'm assuming Stu's talking about football, not basketball. He's talking about basketball. That's a whole different discussion. Assuming he's talking about football, I think this is normal. I don't think this is a strange offseason for football.
No, there's nothing here. There's nothing to see here.
There's always transfers in and out of the program. It's just people come and they go, and, you know, it's a big roster, so that happens. Deseret News had an interesting article, Matt. You and I have talked about this position a lot in the offseason, and we will, I'm sure, talk more. Leif Peavler, writing for the Deseret News, talked about, basically, he makes a claim, and I'm not going to dispute him, actually. 2017, the best position group headed in to the year may be our linebackers. What do you
think? That may be true.
I think it's highly possible. I think the defensive line and offensive line could make claims to that as well, potentially. But I think linebackers is a good call. Obviously, lost Longy, but then you bring back Warner, Powell, Bernard, and a few others, and then add a few other folks. I think I'm with Leif. This is deep. And you've got some significant playmakers.
Yeah, I mean it's a good group, and we've kind of had a run.
Yeah, we certainly have great.
And it's kind of a safe place to land at this point because there's so many unknowns at this point in the season. I mean, we could right now nobody's really sure about the running backs. You know, I mean, there's just so many unknowns.
Yeah, running back and wide receiver, I think, where people are the most nervous. I'm not really nervous about running back. I am a little nervous about the wide receiver position, but we'll talk about that as our off-season preview stuff starts up here in a little bit. Matt, yep. One of the things we're doing as we go through is kind of look at the off-seasons of each of our opponents. We've basically now done all of the crappy ones. And now we're going to spend a little bit more time on teams that actually have a chance of being good.
Oh, here we go. This is when things are about to get interesting.
Was that too mean? That's not too mean, is it? That's
not too mean. We're really just saying what everybody already knows.
Yes, for sure. So this week, we're going to be talking about the Boise State Broncos, the Smurf Turf Warriors.
Broncos, that field's still blue.
I don't believe they have any intention of changing it. No, I don't believe it.
Come on, guys. Let's act like we've been here before, okay?
So, Matt, here's the thing. I went and read some previews of them. Obviously we play them now every year and whatever else. I'm going to get another question to you in a second about whether this is a rivalry. But let's first stick with the team here. Matt, they've got a couple of things that are interesting. The first is Brett Rippon, okay? So when I say to you, Brett Rippon, scary quarterback, do you agree or disagree with that statement? Are you scared about playing Brett Rippon?
No.
You're not scared about playing Brett Rippon?
I'm not scared.
You know he listens to this podcast. He is very upset with you.
Well, he can go ahead and be upset with me. I'm still not scared. Am I supposed to be scared?
Yes. So Rippon has, of course, he's entering his junior season. He has been a starter for pretty much for 2 years, thrown for nearly 7,000 yards, had a much better year last year than he did the year before. His completion percentage was down, but his yards per attempt was a lot higher. Man, I'm not scared about Brett Rippon.
He threw 24 touchdowns.
24 touchdowns against 8 interceptions. He is a good quarterback. Now, does he make the leap this year? I think he's capable of that. But no, I'm not scared of Brett Rippon. But their season, as far as them being a top 25 team, a lot of it rests on Rippon's ability to take it to the next level, go from a good or very good quarterback to something a little higher than that. What do you think of that?
Yeah, he's got to make the leap. I mean, I think they're depending on him to do that.
Yeah,
I think that's what they brought him in, what they brought him there to do.
Yeah, it's
and this is the year that you kind of expect the guy to come in. You know, the guy comes in, he's the Mountain West Freshman of the Year, on the conference first team, started 10 games, as a freshman, right? So you kind of hope that junior year is really the year that a guy like that should really flourish. Got a full season under his belt last year. 24 touchdowns. I mean, I think if you're a Boise State fan, you're hoping for a breakout year this year.
Yeah. So if you went by QBR, the stat that ESPN has developed to take the whole complete game of a quarterback, he was ranked 53rd among quarterbacks last year.
That's not terrible.
No, no, it's not terrible. That's what I'm saying. He's a good quarterback. He's not a bad quarterback. But for them to really take the leap, he needs to be like a top 40, top 35 quarterback, I think. That will transform.
Top 35 or 40.
Yeah, yeah. Now, for them to have a special season, he probably needs to be even higher than that, right?
Yep.
A couple other things to note about them. Offensive line, that's a question mark for them. Offensive lines coach Scott Huff said in the spring that he has no idea who will be the starting five on opening weekend.
Yeah, see, that's not a good sign, guys.
Now, they had three starters from last year that are still on the team, but a little bit maligned. So those are a couple of things. They have some good defensive players. They've got a good linebacker core, sounds similar to us. But as I look at that team, Matt, you know, you look at last year and you look at what they did, and it's just not. They're still a good team, but not as good as they were at their peak. Matt, how good do you think they're going to be based on what you've read and seen and what we saw last year?
Yeah, I don't know. I think they're going to end up just about where they were last year. I think the quarterback situation is a little bit better. Offensive line, I feel like it sounds like it's getting worse.
Yeah, it's potential.
You know, and that can be really bad for an offense. So,
I mean, they lost two conference games last year.
I think they're probably about that same level of team.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. I mean, obviously those losses were to a much improved Wyoming team. Then that loss to Air Force was a big deal. Obviously people will say, whoa, they beat BYU last year, you jokers, and they were ranked, until Air Force, they were ranked a top 20 team. I think they were overranked, to be honest. You know, you look at, they beat Oregon State and us out, so they weren't a bad team at all. I mean, they won 10 games, you know, and then of course lost to Baylor in the bowl game, which really, you know, ended their chances of being ranked. So I think they'll be a good team, and I think it's a game that BYU could lose, but I don't see them as being a great team this year.
No.
All right, so that's a little bit of their off season, Matt. Players to watch, of course, on offensive is definitely Rippon. They've got a couple good wide receivers, including Cedric Wilson, who's a senior. And then on defense, they've got David Moa, undersized nose tackle, who's quite good, as well as Jabril Frazier, junior linebacker. So they've got some talent on that team. They recruit well. That's still a game I'm a little worried about.
Oh yeah, I mean, a team that's going to be about where they were last year, and we don't know what we're going to be like. And it was such a close loss. I mean,
I feel better that it's in Provo, right?
Yeah, yeah, but still, I mean, this isn't like the other games we've talked to. This is a game that easily could get away from us.
Yes, for sure, Matt. Let's break away from that and regarding the schedule, we have a tweet bag question from Justin Sweeney.
Sweeney.
That's at Justin D. Sweeney on Twitter. He says, more likely split, meaning we win one, we lose one. University of Utah and Wisconsin at home, or the LSU-Mississippi State neutral/road games? Matt, what of those two sets are we more likely to split?
I'm going with the second set, and it's not even close in my mind.
You just think that Mississippi State's the worst of those four teams.
Yeah, I think if those are the four teams and I have to and you tell me we're definitely winning one of those, it's Mississippi State. If you hand me those four games and you say we're definitely losing one of those, I'm probably going to say LSU.
Right, right. So they're in the same group, but that wasn't the question. The question was, as you pointed out, you know, you got to pick the team of the four that you think you're most likely to beat, right? I am going to take the other group only because I think we beat the University of Utah this year. I've been on record before, and I'm going to stick with it, with that prediction. The streak ends, and that's the one I'm going to pick.
I don't like that
Mississippi State game in Starkville. I don't like it. I don't like it.
Come on.
It worries me, Matt. It worries me.
Tell you what worries me is Wisconsin.
You notice, you notice I didn't say that we beat Wisconsin, even though it was in Provo. You notice I did not say that.
Really? So really, what I feel like this, what this comes down to is, are you more likely to beat Mississippi State or Utah?
Yeah.
But I think you, I think we have a better chance of beating Wisconsin than LSU. I know you may disagree with me there, but.
Gosh, I don't know that I disagree with you. The only issue for me is I think LSU is a little bit of a wild card only because they have some changes happening, but also because just how prepared are they going to be on that, that week, and will they look past us, right? Orgeron may be the kind of coach where that doesn't happen to his team, right? He's definitely a hard-nosed dude. But I know Wisconsin won't look past us because of the way they're coached, right?
Right.
So I don't know. I don't know. You're probably right. I think Wisconsin's a heck of a team, though. You know, LSU's got maybe the better national brand, but I don't know if I'm wouldn't pick that Wisconsin's a better team next this year. We'll see, though.
Well, and you got to remember that I live off of a steady diet of LSU sports talk radio.
Basically, you drink gold and purple.
It's like the only thing there is to listen to when I'm out of podcasts.
Yeah, yeah, I understand it. Well, last week, Matt, we did something fun. We did the time machine. Okay?
1.21 gigawatts.
1.21 gigawatts! So Jeff Johnston had some questions or some call out about your time machine, which was, of course, the 1996 Cougars. He says this, solid work. Well, I'm stopping there. That's like that first tweet that we had
from
CougFan82. We're done. Thanks, Jeff.
That's all we need to know, Peace Jeff, out. Is that it was solid work.
So
Mic drop.
By the way, his handle is at JeffJBYU on Twitter. He says, I agree that since it was still in the polls area, it's feasible that a 14-0 BYU in that 1996 season could have been number two headed into that Cotton Bowl. And Matt, I think it's feasible. I don't know if it would have happened, but it certainly is an interesting what-if scenario.
Oh, it's within reach. It's within reach. And I, and that's enough for a fan to look at it and think, you know, and have that, oh, what could have been feeling, you know?
Yeah.
You can only imagine, you know, if you'd been on the team, it's got to be, I don't know. You look at the end of that video, there's a highlight video the Cougar Club put out, and they ask, you know, Shane Muirbrook at the end of the Cotton Bowl game, you know, how he feels about the season. And his response is, I'm a winner, you know? And so maybe you feel good about what you put out. You know, if you were out, you know, if you were out on the field and you put out the type of season that you did, you know, I don't know. I don't know what it's like to be on that level, but, there's certainly some room to wonder, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. And that's the thing, right? That really is the thing that the reason that's an interesting scenario is not the bowl game, because they probably still end up in the Cotton Bowl regardless. Okay. The interesting scenario in that is where they're ranked at the end of the year. Right? Depending on who wins and loses at the end and where they were ranked. And could you potentially have been a national champion?
Right.
You know, slipped in the back door like we did in 84. So anyway.
That rhymes. Did you mean that to rhyme?
I did not mean that to rhyme. It's terrible. As soon as I said it, I was like, yay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I can't believe you made that rhyme.
I do it some of the time.
Kind of wish that was mine.
Well, you know, sometimes you can be really fine. All right.
Do you ever eat watermelon rind?
Have you ever had pickled watermelon rind?
Oh, so we're not doing the rhyming thing right now?
No, we're switching out of it. Have you ever had pickled watermelon rind?
I don't think that I have. I've eaten a lot of pickled things, so I'm not sure, but
there's a steak place here in the Twin Cities that does as basically all they serve is steak and shrimp. Like that's all that's on the menu.
I need to go to this place.
And you get a salad as a starter with their dressing on it. And then you also get basically hash browns as the other side. Like that's all this place does. Lindy's is what it's called. But anyway, they do, as part of their meal, they have pickled watermelon rinds. And they're pretty good. They're pretty good. When somebody said it to me, I was like, that sounds terrible. And I put one in my mouth. It was pretty good. Yeah, what do you know? So, Matt, we're going to jump back in the time machine. Do you have a scenario ready, or do you want me to go first?
Why don't you go first? Let's see what you got.
All right. So, here's my scenario. I know what people think my scenario is going to be, but it's not. I'm going to switch to basketball. Okay?
What?
Yeah, I'm going to switch to basketball, Matt. And I'm going to go back in time, okay, to a time when men were men and women were women. No, that's ridiculous. I'm going to go back in time in basketball, and we're going to keep Sean Bradley in Cougar Blue.
Oh, there it is. He did it.
So let's play this scenario out a little bit, okay? So if we look at, I want to get all seasons here on Sports Reference because that'll be easier if I can go through some of this. But if you look at where the program was at, this program was basically built, right, to have Sean Bradley come back from his mission and make a deep NCAA tournament run.
Right.
That's what this program was developed to do. What happened in reality was he decided not to come back, and it sent the program into an absolute terrible free fall.
It was a tailspin.
It was a tailspin that ended with Roger Reed getting fired in 1996-97, and BYU going 1-25 in that season.
Mm.
I was not on campus at the time because I was on my mission, but I knew a guy that had played at Brighton, got recruited by some small D1 schools, ended up at BYU, was on a team that year that won, or maybe they came in second for the intramural championships, and all the joke around campus was either of those two teams could have beaten the varsity team. And it wasn't really a joke, because both those teams had, you know, some pretty high caliber guys on them, and that team was clearly the worst team BYU's ever had. So let's go back, though, a couple of years and see what might have been. Okay? What might have been had he stuck around, Mr. Sean Bradley? So Matt, we talked about when we drafted our teams, and I talked about how Bradley couldn't be on our best BYU team ever because he only played 1 year, and we called it the Sean Bradley rule.
Right.
But let's go to that 90-91 season, right?
Oh, boy.
He had 14.8 points, 7.7 rebounds, and 5.2 blocks a game. That is pretty impressive, right?
It's insane.
It's insane. And that was as a freshman. Obviously, he's incredibly tall. But let's look at the years he was on his mission, okay? So they lost in the second round of the NCAA tournament. In 91-92 season, so the next season, they were 25-7 and made the tournament. In 92-93, they were 25-9 and lost in the second round, okay? They were ranked as high as 21 in the country, okay? So imagine the roster in 93-94. They had Russell Larson, who's ended up being the leading scorer, Ken Roberts, Randy Reed, Shane Knight, who ended up playing in the NBA, the other Reed, Robbie, Mark Durant, Craig Wilcox. I'm telling you right now, that team won 22 games, did not make the tournament. You put Sean Bradley on that team, and I'm saying Elite Eight, Sweet 16. That's how good that team would have been. But you take him out of that, and that whole team was built to be around him. And obviously, the free fall came slow because there was talent on the roster. But man, they would make the tournament the next year, and then it'd be downhill from there and wouldn't make the tournament again until 2000, 2001. So that's my time machine. I think it makes a big difference. Now, granted, Sean Bradley would be a lot poorer.
Yeah, he would be.
So, yeah.
Anyway. It'd be unfortunate for Sean Bradley, but it'd be great for the Cougs.
Well, he still would have gotten drafted the next year and made a lot of money. But they, if for people to remember, they were going to put in a rookie salary cap, a draft cap slotting system the next year. So Bradley, that was an uncapped rookie year, and he made, I don't know what it was, like $70 million was the contract or something.
Wasn't it $76 million? Everything was, I feel like everything was 76.
Yes,
he was 7'6" for the 76ers.
Yeah, it's crazy when you think about it. I don't even know, like sometimes you look at it and you're like, they really paid him that much money? Like, right? It's absolutely crazy. So 7'6" player, 70, he wore 776. You know, he was second team all NBA and was on Space Jam. I'm just saying, he was in the movie Space Jam.
Does it get any better than that, being on Space Jam?
It doesn't get any better.
I wasn't in Space Jam. I've never been in a feature film.
No. He did lead the league in blocks twice and was second team all rookie second team as a rookie, but that was not exactly NBA averaged 8.6 boards and 2.5 blocks a game over the course of his career.
I guess that's good. Whatever.
Better than I did at the NBA level.
Played more in the NBA than I did.
Uh-huh. So anyway. So Matt, do you have a time machine for us?
So I do have a time machine. This one's, you know, a little bit, this is still a kind of a sore topic for some folks, but, I'm just bear with me here. And you're going to know immediately when I say a year where I'm going, but I'm also going to talk hoops.
Okay.
And, I'm going back to the summer of 2010. I'm sorry. The winter of 2010, 2011. And you're looking at a BYU team that won a ton of games.
Yes. Yes, they did.
I mean, lots of games. You know, just a handful of losses. They lost to UCLA on the road. Well, in California. So that's, I mean, on the road. Lost to New Mexico on the road. And then New Mexico again at home. Get to the tournament with a great seed. You remember this? This was like the height of Jimmer mania, right?
Yes.
For a 3 seed in the tournament. Just ready to crush some kids. And without getting into reasons behind all this, going into the tournament, the team loses the services of Brandon Davies.
Yes. Now you said 2010. You mean 2011, right?
Well, 2010, 2011 season.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that winter. So yes, it's the 2011 tournament.
Yes, sorry.
And so what I'd like to do is I'd like to go back in time I'd like to keep Brandon Davies. And if you look at the bracket, and let's just talk NCAA tournament here for a second. BYU beats Wofford, not really worried about Wofford. Crushes Gonzaga 89-67. And then loses to Florida in overtime, a team that they had beat before, right?
Yes.
And lose that game 83-74. Florida goes on to lose to Butler just by 3. Butler goes to the Final Four and plays for a national championship.
And not well.
No, it was not good. It's not the one you're thinking of, folks. It's not the one you're thinking of. Okay, with that one guy that everybody loves.
No, that was the year they shot like 20% in the finals, right?
Yeah, it was terrible. It was terrible. They got smoked. Yeah. It was the final. I had the final score here a second ago, but it wasn't pretty.
Yeah.
National championship game, final score 53-41.
Oh, that was such an ugly game. It was so bad.
But Butler beats VCU 70-62. So just sit with me for just a second here, folks.
Are you saying we win the national championship?
I'm not. I don't know. I'm saying we win the national championship, but we beat Florida. Okay.
Okay.
We beat I think we beat Florida by 6.
So we beat Florida, and then because Butler took out Pitt and Wisconsin, we don't have to face. I think Wisconsin would have been a bad matchup for us that year.
All we would have had to do is beat Butler. Butler team that scored 41 points
into
in the final.
Final Four, and then you would
you're playing VCU.
You would have had a chance to play VCU. We make the championship game.
You probably make the championship game. I don't know that you beat Connecticut.
I think you beat Connecticut because, I don't know, that's a good question because Connecticut was good.
I just feel like it's a reach. I understand that was kind of an ugly game. I get it. But I feel like saying with Brandon Davies that we won a national championship is a little bit of a reach. But it's not that big of a reach when you think about the players that were on that roster.
I don't think it's a reach.
National attention that team was garnering.
So I think Kemba Walker and Jemma Fredette kind of cancel each other out. Okay? All right? Let's say they cancel each other out. I'll take, if Brandon Davies is on that team, I'll take our next three over their next three. I'll take Noah Hartsock and Jackson Emery and Brandon Davies over, however you said his name, Orakai Lamb and Shabazz Napier.
You think that if we have Brandon Davies, we win a national championship in basketball?
Only because of that bracket, right? I think that team had its weaknesses, and I think if you had faced Ohio State or even – not Ohio State. Who's in our bracket? I'm losing the bracket here. Where is it? If you had faced Pitt that year, I think Wisconsin would have been a bad matchup for us. I think coming from some of those other brackets, if it's not UConn, if it's Duke, but of course people are laughing because Duke.
But like VCU had taken out Kansas.
VCU had taken out Kansas.
Arizona took care of Duke.
Arizona took care of Duke, Kentucky, took care of UNC and Ohio State in that. A lot of people, joked that the national championship game was really UConn and Kentucky, right? And that was, again, but those were some ugly games, by the way. That Final Four was holding those games in those massive NFL stadiums is just dumb. They shoot so terribly.
They sell so many tickets.
Yeah, I know.
Having attended
basketball
twice, Final Four games, including a national championship game in one of those giant stadiums, it is fun to watch.
It's bad basketball. Bad basketball.
Anyway, if I'd go back in time and I would keep Brandon Davies.
Yeah,
if I could change.
Yeah. Well, Gary Payne, that's at Fast Break GP. He is tweeting to us from an Aaronic Priesthood encampment. 30,000 LDS. He says scooters. I think he means scouters. No.
I'm gonna stick with scooters.
No. He actually wrote it right. I just read it wrong.
That's okay. I'm still saying scooters.
All right. Why not? He said few podcast listeners with me here. Well, change that, Gary.
What?
Change that. But he says, what if Brandon Davies ... We just covered it for you, Gary.
That was it. That's it, Gary.
All right, Matt. So we are going to be back next week with another show because that's kind of what we do. We're going to preview. We did Boise State. We're going to talk Mississippi State next week. So stay tuned.
One Mississippi, two Mississippi.
For that. And also, stop it. These aren't things you're making.
That's a thing.
No,
that's a thing. What was the other thing I'm going to do?
No, I'm not.
Oh, climb on in.
Oh, climb on stop. In. Sweet bag.
I got to write this stuff down.
Hashtag, if you've made it all the way to the end of this terrible show, hashtag climb on in.
Climb on in.
Climb on in. Not really excited to see what else might be under that hashtag. So we'll check it out next week. Matt, the other thing we're going to be doing is I'm going to do another survey this summer. So probably in July, we'll have that survey out to survey the listeners, see what you think of the show, what changes, some things that we're considering. So keep out for that. And of course, bleep the podcast if you want to know about Spider-Man. You can also, this week, we'll be publishing our seventh episode of Bleep that'll be about the Wonder Woman movie.
Oh, great movie.
Fantastic movie. We talked about that last week. So anyway, Matt, anything else you want to share or talk about before we sign off?
No, I'm just counting down the days.
Awesome. Well, thanks, everybody, for downloading and listening. Find this and other great podcasts at DeseretNews.com/podcasts. Join us on Facebook at Facebook.com/RiseAndShout. And we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars.